Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. And this week, Dave and I have been talking about strong homes and some of the principles that need to be considered for those to develop.
If you want to understand a little bit more about this, you can go to mystronghome.com, a free course there that you can sign up for that we put together a year or two ago. And it's just fundamental. How do you succeed and how do you build a strong home? Today, we're talking about a family culture of kindness, which is something really near and dear to our hearts because we worked hard at this. And then also just having a partnership of agreement, you know, that you're working on together with your spouse. And those have been two key elements that have helped us in establishing our strong home.
And I don't have the quote in front of me. I wish I did because it's just now coming to me. But it's one by Edith Schaefer. And I just loved some of her books when I was kind of working on figuring out how to have a family. And one of her quotes is basically says, when your kids are sick, when she had one with polio, when you're disappointed, when you're tired, when you're afraid about something, when you're angry about something, you know, when you have people stop in and when you have family issues. I mean, she goes on and on and on. You know, we have celebrations and we have cakes to bake. That's what a family is.
That is a part
putting
of family life.
All that together. We sometimes, I did anyway, I shouldn't put that on anyone else, but I kind of wanted things to calm down and then we could be a family. And family, that's what family is working through all those things and doing that together.
Well, this is where the partnership really works because I remember that book and I remember that quote and it's in the front of My Strong Homes.
Well, there we go.
Booklet that we put together. As we talk about a family culture of kindness and agreement partnership, I want to lay a little bit of a foundation and look at Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but this is this passage is full. It starts in verse 25, goes to the end of the chapter. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Now, think about that when it comes to children. And you know, we've had we had kids that were more prone to telling the truth than others,
and everybody at different stages.
Yeah. So that whole idea of speaking the truth, inculcating that into your home life and your family values is really huge. So I appreciate that. Then the next verse: be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, what an amazing principle for a family, because he's basically saying, if you can't get it reconciled with another person, reconcile it between you and God,
right,
and don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yeah, that's the deal, don't you think? I didn't used to take that extra step. I'd feel like I can't get this worked out. They won't talk to me, or we can't seem to get it done. And that was a huge leap for me to go, I can still forgive. I can still work this out with God, even though it hasn't actually been worked out with the person themselves.
So we're supposed to speak the truth to each other, not let our sun go down in our anger. And it's interesting, coupled with that is the statement, and do not give the devil an opportunity. And, you know, when you close off that opportunity by treating each other with the kind of kindness that God describes that we're all supposed to treat one another with, not just in the family, well, that goes a long ways to accomplishing our goal. He then goes on to talk about him who steals must steal no longer, and he contrasts that with laboring. And you think about that. Think about from a family perspective, that whole idea of this disappears, that disappears, and you realize you got a little klepto in the house. And, you know, that's part of shepherding and, and taking the scepter of authority and helping them to understand. Because, you know, how does a five-year-old understand that, or an eight-year-old?
Right.
It's just something that they need to be instructed in to set up the family environment. And the whole idea is that don't steal, but work. Do the opposite of stealing. Rather than taking, labor is the word that's used here in this passage. And it's interesting, that is tied together with, you do that so that you'll be able to share with people who are in need.
Well, and all the people in need, that's cool.
Yeah, so you
read that again. I missed that. I was getting ready to talk instead of listening.
He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good so that he will have something to share with the one who has need.
What an incredible concept.
Well, and what a family value.
Not just to supply for yourself, but the assumption is that you would supply yourself and share.
And from first, a little bit of credibility here. Our children are grown and all of them exhibit this quality because it was something we wrestled with in our family life. And they all three in their own ways are always ready to share. I mean, I don't know. That was encouraging to me when I was thinking about it.
It is encouraging.
Good
because
job,
we didn't have a lot. So it was not like we easily had extra to give. One of the things when we talk about family kindness too, family culture of kindness, I can remember, and you still see it on the internet, little tests that you can take to figure out which love language is yours.
Yes.
And I've enjoyed still doing that with our kids, but then now with our grandkids and just with friends. Sometimes I find that I just am not connecting with someone over something. And if I make myself think about that, that's just a reminder that some people are gift givers. Some people want acts of service. Some people need a little more time spent with them. You know, those five things, I only gave three, but they're easy to find. It's just a reminder. When we were getting ready for this, I thought those love languages are important because we all hear things differently and respond differently.
Well, it's what we do that carries the day, even in some senses more over and above than what we actually say. It's what we do and it's what we model. And as I was thinking about family culture of kindness, one of the aspects that I know we worked really hard at, and you were better at this than me, there are just lines that you won't cross.
Oh, yeah. Like wild horses not being able to pull certain things out of your mouth.
And all it took was like a little mouse or a rat to pull it out of
out of yours.
Out of my mouth, yeah.
Well, and I was just the opposite. Nothing would pull mine out. And I can remember you saying, it's just the epitome of kind of selfishness to not communicate because you're withholding yourself from someone else. But the whole idea of wild horses not being able to drag some things from your mouth, it was an important thing, I think, and it is an important thing to teach our kids because in a home, the kids know what the underbelly of the other kid is. They know where they can really put the knife in and make it hurt the worst. You know, that deep insult.
Push your buttons.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. You know how to push each other's buttons. And it's teaching our kids that some things, you'll win that argument, but you will lose their trust. You will lose a sibling. And those things are really, those are dangerous things. And we have to be really careful that we're teaching our kids not to do that. And if they don't do it to each other, they'll be way more careful about doing it to their friends and their spouse.
Well, and I think when a family has defined lines that you work on, part of that is to keep your children from insulting one another, because you don't want them to be an insulting kind of a person, because that's not going to help them succeed in any way, shape, or form.
And we worked on kindness a lot, but just in reality, to give a little bit of our own history, you're a good communicator. You communicated a lot. I didn't communicate enough. And that was something we had to work through. And our kids ultimately had to watch us work through that because, you know, they were around when we were figuring this out. And just how hard it is to, ultimately, we kind of, I had some anger issues, you did, and we couldn't help but pass some of that down to our kids. But they also, as they've grown up, I think they've gotten to realize that they saw us work through it at the same time. So, you know, it's okay for your kids to see you working through stuff. It's just a drag. It's just hard.
Well, there, you know, every family models character qualities or family qualities. Mm-hmm. And to be intentional about that and think through, you know, well, what is it we are modeling? And then what is it that we want to model? And then how do you implement those things into a family environment? Because things are always changing, always moving, everybody's busy. How do we always come back to some kind of a home base?
Yeah, and I think it took a lot of communication on our part to take the time, because, you know, we needed time together. Each of our kids needed time. So how do you implement all that? I mean, you cannot get around the fact that it takes a lot of time.
We talked a little bit earlier about that passage in Ephesians that talks about not letting the sun go down on your anger. And this is a great question. What's your verbal standard when you're frustrated or angry? You know, what are you willing to do in order to do the right thing? Because that, again, it's not always what we say, it's what we do and how we respond to things that trip our trigger. Those are the kinds of things that our children are going to see, and that's what they're going to respond to.
Mm-hmm. I remember someone saying, if you're not sure what you believe, ask your kids. They'll be able to tell you in just, you know, a few sentences what you believe. I never had the nerve to ask my kids. Because, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, I forgive him. Or they know something happened with a friend or a relative, and they know how you're acting about it. Yes. They know better than what you're just saying. They see how I'm living it out.
There are two things that came to mind as I was thinking about a family culture of kindness that related to things that, you know, needed to change in me. The flying off the handle and not thinking through the implications of flying off the handle. And you're nodding right now because you know that. And
nodding that I'm hearing you, not that I agree. Right.
But early on in our marriage, early on in our relationship, establishing our family, that was something that I had to figure out how to get that under control, because if I didn't think it through, then I'd be cleaning up the mess, you know, as a result of it. And mm-hmm. the other thing is not articulating appreciation and value. And that's one of the things I've really appreciated about our partnership together, is that I've learned that from you, to articulate appreciation, articulate value, and get it out there. And that's
amazing
huge...
that you say that, because I don't feel like I'm very good at it. It's something I think about all the time. Like, how do I say a good thing instead of a roundabout bad thing, a roundabout weak thing? But thank you.
Well, when it comes to a partnership, and I'd kind of like to wrap all this particular topic up about the culture of kindness, I think that you and I have been able to, you know, we've got totally different styles, mm-hmm. but to some degree, we had different principles we were trying to put into place as we started a family. But we worked at that, and we prayed about that, and we thought it through, and we had a lot of conversations. And I think about the styles, just the different styles, because we know a lot of people pretty well, mm-hmm. how their families work. Communication. Just the way a family communicates, that's worth thinking about. You know, the pros and cons. You're not going to be perfect communicators, but you can know what your weaknesses are.
And just admit them. That's so hard.
Right. And also know what your strengths are so that you can accentuate those. But that's part of a style. You have a communication style in your family. Well, is it working? Mm-hmm. And is it working well? Also, the issue of compliance. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about... we didn't want just our kids to do what we told them to do and be standing up on the outside, sitting down on the inside, or vice
reverse.
Versa. This is why you're here. It wasn't just a matter of compliance. It was a matter of the heart mm-hmm. going along with what the expectations were. And I think that was a partnership that we worked hard at, because we were reading our kids from two different perspectives, you being a nurturer, mm-hmm. me being a protector, and together we tried to figure that out.
And I don't know if I'm sure you remember this, but we were about 7 years into our marriage and a whole bunch of things were falling apart, kind of within my family, different things in your family, and then just within just our own lives. And I can remember coming home one day with you, and we looked at each other, and, you know, we'd been kind of arguing, and we recognized that really the battle is on the outside. We shouldn't let the battle be between us. And that was a huge turning point, kind of in our family agreement, in our culture of kindness, was for us to realize we need to be us against the world, not us against each other. That was a huge moment for us.
It really was. In fact, we could talk a whole program about that. I want to finish off this Ephesians passage as we're heading out the door. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, and all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And that still convicts me. I read mm-hmm. that, and it's so convicting, because Christ's forgiveness is the gold standard. That's what I'm comparing my life to, not to other people.
And all those things bring peace. That's the cool thing. I want to accentuate each one of those things, but ultimately God brings peace.
Forstream.com, a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of kingdom life. Don't forget, you can check mystronghome.com and you can get some free stuff that we were talking about today. It's a course. But if you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at forthstream.com.